Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, December 9th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Wall Street braces for the first of two inflation reports before next week's Fed meeting.
Janet Yellen holds fast to her call that the U.S. will avoid recession.
A vocal bear doubles down on his bearish call for stocks.
And Sam Bankman-Fried misses a key deadline set by U.S. lawmakers.
Advocates urge a judge to stop New York Mayor Adams from forcing homeless people into mental health treatment. Plus a call for new sanctions on Russia and China. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets have re-signed Brandon Nimmo, and they'll play two quarterfinal matches today at the World Cup.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good Friday morning. I'm Amy Morris.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are picking up some steam this morning. It's 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets all day long at Bloomberg. S&P futures right now up 15 points. Dow futures up 80. NASDAQ futures are higher by 61 points. 10-year Treasury is little changed now. The yield 3.48%. Yield on the 2-year 4.27%. NYMEX crude is up 1%, up 71 cents at $72.16 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.70 at $18.07.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.0562 against the dollar, and the yen is at 136.05. Amy?
Nathan, we begin with the latest on Brittany Griner. A plane carrying the WNBA star has now landed in San Antonio hours after the White House traded a notorious arms dealer for her release. Griner is back on U.S. soil nearly 10 months after she was detained in Russia for carrying cannabis oil. Republicans are criticizing the prisoner swap, calling Griner a geopolitical pawn. Democratic Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee represents Griner's hometown of Houston, Texas.
No American should be left without knowing that the full power of the United States will be behind them to bring them home.
Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee says Griner's release sends a message and puts a renewed spotlight on ex-Marine Paul Whelan. He's still being held in Russia.
All right, we'll continue following that throughout the morning, Amy. But let's turn now to the economy. Wall Street is closing out this week with a pair of key economic reports, November's Producer Price Index and the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index. Bloomberg's Michael McKee has a preview.
We're into a world of base effects with the November Producer Price Index. Because inflation was higher a year ago, the annual rate of wholesale inflation can fall even if the monthly rate increases. And that's the expectation, a rise in both headline and core inflation for the month, but a drop to the lowest annual headline inflation since May of last year and a drop in the core to the lowest since June. That might contribute to an expected rise in the University of Michigan's preliminary consumer sentiment index, a small rise, but still at a depressed level. Investors will be more interested in the survey's inflation expectations indexes. Neither one-year or five-year expectations are expected to change as Americans wait for proof prices are slowing rather than forecasts. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Calls for a recession, though, are growing. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, however, says she still anticipates the U.S. economy will avoid one. We get that story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
During a visit to Fort Worth, Texas, Yellen said, quote, whether or not we can avoid a recession, I believe the answer is yes. She highlighted that U.S. payrolls so far have avoided declines. On inflation, she said supply chain bottlenecks are clearly beginning to ease, and that's helpful. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Charlie, thank you. Still, much of Wall Street disagrees with Secretary Yellen, including the man who manages one of the biggest pension funds in the country. We caught up with Chris Ailman, Chief Investment Officer of the California State Teachers Retirement System.
I feel like a recession has to happen because in my lifetime, when the Fed raises rates this aggressively, 75 time and time after again, the economy slows down. The inflation is from the supply chain disruptions and the war. Maybe inflation slows down on its own. I'd be surprised, but I think we've got to have a recession.
Chris Ailman oversees about $300 billion at the California State Teachers Retirement System.
Despite calls for a recession, some of the world's biggest investors predict stocks will see low double-digit gains next year. 71% of respondents in a Bloomberg survey expect equities to rise. That compares with 19% forecasting declines. For those seeing gains, the average prediction was a 10% return.
As it happens, Amy, the S&P 500 is up about 10% from its October lows. But one of the market's most vocal skeptics sees more losses ahead. We spoke with Morgan Stanley Chief U.S. Equity Strategist Mike Wilson.
We don't think that this bear market is over yet, mainly because our forecast for next year on earnings is materially below the street. Now, I know that's becoming a bit of a consensus view, but I think our forecasts are even below kind of this new level that people are talking about.
Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson says there's still a case for positioning in defensive value stocks like utilities, staples, and healthcare, but not in industrials, financials, or energy.
Let's look at some of the stocks on the move this morning. Shares of Lululemon down almost 7%. Gross margins at the yoga wear maker came in below estimates. Shares of Broadcom up more than 3%. The chip maker gave an upbeat sales forecast, indicating that demand remains strong. Shares of DocuSign up 12%. The company boosted its revenue guidance for the full year.
Finally, there's some new developments this morning in the collapse of crypto exchange FTX. Sam Bankman-Fried, the founders, missed a key Senate deadline. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nathan and Amy. Bankman-Fried had until 5 p.m. yesterday to respond to a letter requesting he appear before a Senate Banking Committee next week. Chairman Sherrod Brown warning he and ranking member Pat Toomey are prepared to issue a subpoena if Bankman-Fried does not comply. Bankman-Fried recently indicated he would testify before a House committee. It's unclear why he didn't respond to the Senate panel's request, though a spokesman for the disgraced FTX founder confirms he hired a defense attorney. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 16 points. That's a gain of 0.4%. Dow futures are higher by 82. NASDAQ futures up 57 points. 10-year Treasury is now down 2/32, yield 3.49%. The yield on the two-year, 4.28%. Bitcoin's trading 0.2% higher at around 17,200. Local headlines and a check of sports next. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Nathan. 6:07 on Wall Street, 38 degrees in New York, a sunny start for your weekend. We're going up to 45 today. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. Advocates for people with mental illnesses are urging a federal judge to stop New York City Mayor Eric Adams' plan to force people from the streets and into mental health treatment. Several organizations, including the New York Lawyers for the Public Interest and the National Alliance on Mental Illness of New York City, said action was needed to stop large-scale involuntary hospitalizations. The lawsuit seeks to remove police officers as first responders for those requiring health care. When announcing the plan on November 29th, Adams called it a moral obligation to act. The U.S. is preparing new sanctions on Russia and China for what it describes as human rights abuses by both countries. According to officials familiar with the matter, the European Union is set to boost the size of a fund to finance weapons for Ukraine by at least $2.1 billion as early as next week. Congress took a historic step to protect marriage equality. The House passed bipartisan legislation cementing federal protections for same-sex and interracial couples. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says this bill is personal for him, as his daughter and her wife are expecting their first child.
Thanks to the tireless advocacy of many, many in this room, and the dogged work by many of my colleagues, my grandchild will live in a world that will respect and honor their mother's marriage.
Republicans against the bill have claimed that it goes against religious freedom. And this just in, there's word that Kyrsten Sinema plans to leave the Democratic Party and will become an independent. NASA's Artemis moon mission is headed toward a Sunday splashdown in the Pacific, but first the Orion spacecraft has to survive a 25,000-mile per hour, 5,000 degree reentry. Mission manager Mike Serafin.
On entry day, we will realize our priority one objective, which is to demonstrate the vehicle lunar reentry conditions, as well as our priority three objective, which is to retrieve the spacecraft.
NASA's Mike Serafin. And again, the breaking news, Kyrsten Sinema plans to change her party affiliation from Democratic to independent. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg AME.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It's 6:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the sports report brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Amy, the Mets drafted Brandon Nimmo in the first round back in 2011. He's developed into a solid center fielder for them both at the plate and in the field. And the Mets are keeping Nimmo, an 8-year deal for $162 million, which means the Mets payroll in 2023 likely to be around $320 million, far and away the most in baseball history. Mets have also signed veteran reliever David Robertson. What a few days for Baker Mayfield once the first pick of the draft. The week one starter for Carolina, released Monday by the Panthers, claimed on waivers Tuesday by the Rams. Mayfield had one practice with his new team and then played the entire game last night and threw a game-winning touchdown pass with 10 seconds left. The Rams ended a six-game losing streak, 17-16 over the Raiders. The Giants are winless in their last three games. And Sunday, in comes Philadelphia at 11-1, 5-0 on the road, and led by quarterback Jalen Hurts. 5 years ago, Hurts led Alabama to the national championship. Giants coach Brian Daboll that year was the Bama offensive coordinator.
I got a lot of respect for Jalen. Tremendous person, first and foremost. Highly competitive, extremely smart. Great leader. He's the reason why he's probably at the top of the list for MVP right now.
Jets Sunday visit Buffalo looking for a season sweep of the Bills. World Cup quarterfinals beginning this morning with Brazil against Croatia. Later, the Netherlands off that win over the U.S. taking on Argentina. Knicks are in Charlotte tonight. They'll be without Obi Toppin, but he's going to miss 2 to 3 weeks with a knee injury. The Nets host Atlanta. The Rangers visit Colorado. And the Islanders play the Devils. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy.
The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. It's 6:11 on Wall Street. Next on Bloomberg Daybreak, we speak with Chief Market Strategist Matt Maley at Miller Tabak. This is Bloomberg. 6:12 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Stocks rose yesterday as traders shifted their focus to inflation data. We are waiting for PPI data this morning. We're going to talk about that and much more. Chief Market Strategist Matt Maley at Miller Tabak. Matt, thank you for taking the time with us this morning. We are looking for the PPI data today, the CPI data next week. What are you looking for?
Well, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how the market reacts to it. I mean, obviously, the PPI number has been less important to the market, but that doesn't mean if it's way out of whack with expectations that it'll be a market mover today. But then, of course, next week with the CPI is going to be more important. Then the following day, of course, we have the Fed rate announcement and, more importantly, Chairman Powell's press conference. But it's interesting because this week we've seen a change. You know, whether it's something that lasts for a while or not is going to be very, very important. But, you know, interest rates going down has been a good thing for the stock market, but not this week. We saw it earlier this week when people are starting to suddenly worry about less concerned about what the Fed's going to do and more concerned about what the Fed has done and the impact that's had on the economy. And if the economy is going to fall into recession, interest rates and stocks can fall together. And we saw even yesterday just the opposite happen. The bond market, yields went up and the stock market went up. So we're seeing this change in the correlation between the two. If that becomes something that's more prevalent, it's going to be very, very, it's going to be a big change for the marketplace.
So let me ask you, you said it's very important if that would last. What are some of the flagposts that you'll be watching for in the next few weeks and months to see if this does last?
Well, the big thing that we have to know is that, you know, one of the misconceptions in the marketplace is that, you know, if as long as interest rates top out, everything's going to be fine. Well, during a bull market, that is the case. So interest rates, you know, go up for a little, you know, for a month or two, and then the stock market goes down. But as soon as interest rates roll over, the market goes right back up. That's great. However, in a bear market, especially in a bear market which includes a recession, not all bear markets do include a recession, but most do. The problem is that at some point in the middle of that bear market, interest rates roll over and everybody changes their focus towards a recession. And of course, that means they start worrying about lower earnings. And we're starting to see that now. So the flags we'll start to see is literally the biggest thing I think is going to be the earnings estimates, of course, for 2023, which have already started to come down. We're also going to watch very, very closely to see what happens in China, because everybody's looking for the, you know, the reopening in China. But now there's a very, very interesting article today on Bloomberg talking about the repercussions and that how China may not be able to handle the big rise in these COVID rates now that they're changing their restrictions. If that's the case, we may not get the big bounce back or the big reopening that people are hoping for. So I'm going to be looking at China very closely as well.
And we'll be watching it with you. Chief Market Strategist Matt Maley at Miller Tabak. Thank you for your time. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thank you. It is 6:15 on Wall Street. Now we want to turn to some breaking news we just got from Politico Playbook. In an interview with that publication, Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema, the Democrat, the junior or the senior Democrat in Arizona, now says that she is changing her party affiliation to independent. Let's bring in Greg Valliere for more on this breaking news, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Greg, as you know, Kyrsten Sinema has an independent streak. Why change her official affiliation to independent?
Well, she's got a tough primary, Nathan, coming up in 2024, and she may feel that she couldn't win the Democrats' primary, so she wants to leave the party now. But I got to tell you, this is not a huge deal because the Democrats have a 51-49 majority. It'll now be tied, I guess. But even tied, Kamala Harris breaks all ties, so I don't see what kind of clout she'll get. She'll get a little more clout, but I don't think it's dominant.
And it's an interesting move, I think, given that Arizona just elected a Democrat for governor over Carrie Lake, Katie Hobbs winning there, and Mark Kelly, still a Democrat in Arizona, the other senator from Arizona.
Well, you're absolutely right. I think an awful lot of Democrats in Arizona are still angry with her for her many of her votes that were viewed as disloyal to the White House. So she, I think, saw the handwriting on the wall and decided, let's make the move now and establish myself as an independent.
And in terms of her rationale behind this, in the interview with Politico, she said that she's not going to caucus with Republicans, suggesting that she intends to vote the same way, saying, quote, nothing will change about my values or my behavior, end quote. So in our last 30 seconds here, Greg, what really changes with Kyrsten Sinema leaving the Democratic Party?
Not a lot. And if she does, I haven't seen the article, but if she does caucus with the Democrats, well, so does Bernie Sanders. So does there's a Maine senator also who caucuses with the Democrats. So it doesn't affect what's going on inside the Beltway. It does affect Arizona politics.
As you say, the primary coming up in 24, as if we didn't have enough to think about with a presidential race. And
right.
Joe Manchin, the other independent streak Democrat facing a potential primary challenge as well. But Greg, as always, great to get your thoughts, particularly on this breaking news from Politico Playbook. Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema telling Politico she is registering as an independent, leaving the Democratic Party. Our thanks this morning to Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. This update's brought to you by Jewish Communal Fund. For 50 years, philanthropists at all levels have turned to JCF's donor-advised funds to streamline their charitable giving. Visit jcfny.org. Futures are on the rise. Treasuries holding steady ahead of U.S. producer prices, one of the key final pieces of data before next week's Fed decision. We check the markets all day long for you on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 13 points, Dow futures up 71, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 51 points. 10-year treasuries down to 30 seconds, yield 3.48%. NYMEX crude's up 0.6%, up 44 cents. $71.91 gets you a barrel of West Texas Intermediate. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.60, 18.07.10 an ounce. The euro 1.0554 against the dollar. The yen 135.98. Bitcoin is higher by 0.2%, trading around 17,200. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with a look at what else is going on around the world. Michael?
Nathan, thank you very much. We have two breaking stories. According to several media sources, Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema plans to switch from the Democratic Party to be an independent. Also, a plane believed to be carrying WNBA star Brittany Griner has arrived in San Antonio, Texas after a prisoner swap with Russia. Griner was arrested in February for illegally bringing hash oil and vape cartridges into Russia. Thursday night football, the Rams beat the Raiders 17-16. FIFA World Cup action resumes today. Croatia plays Brazil. The Netherlands faces Argentina. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 6:23 on Wall Street. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by the Donors Fund. Open your free giving account in minutes and instantly qualify for a tax deduction. Then choose from 1.4 million charitable organizations at any time. Visit thedonorsfund.org today and get your 2022 tax deduction. As we await a couple of key economic reports this morning, we want to get some insight from Chief Economist Neela Richardson at ADP Research Institute. Neela, good morning. Thank you for taking the time with us. Inflation data, the last big piece of the puzzle we've been waiting for before the next Fed meeting. How much is this going to matter today?
It matters because any information that we see that points in the direction of lower inflation makes the Fed's job easier, and it does shape some of their communication strategy. But the important distinction with the PPI from the CPI that we'll get later is that it doesn't include housing and shelter costs. And as we point to Chair Powell's last speech, housing is a big issue for inflation, as are wages. So it's missing a key piece. It's helpful, but it's not the full picture.
So what are you going to be watching for instead?
Well, obviously, I think housing is important, but we're not going to see that change in real time. It's a very lagged indicator, but it's to me about wages. In fact, I can again point to Powell's recent speech where he said the labor market holds the key to inflation. And we saw that in the November jobs report. We're still hovering about 5% on earnings year over year. In ADP's own data, we've seen wages stay elevated and move sideways in terms of growth. So wage pressures are still present. The labor market is still tight. And wages really are going to be the determining factor, in my view, of where inflation is heading.
Neela, this is a hard question, I know, but why is this labor market so complex? Why is it so complicated?
Well, we did, lose 20 million workers, and it's been difficult to get many of those workers back. This was a people shock. It wasn't just an economic shock. People made different decisions. And at the household level, those decisions have proved sticky. Some people retired early. The Fed estimates 2 million people retired early because of the pandemic. But all kinds of other decisions were made, like to live on one income, to choose a remote job, to leave a job, to quit a part-time job. And so those individual decisions have complicated the labor market in a very unique way because of the source of the shock, which was a major global health concern.
Only about 30 seconds here. Has the labor market cooled off enough yet for the Fed?
I don't think so. I mean, we're still seeing strong hiring and consumer-facing industries. Those are the ones that were hit hardest. Those are the ones in the greatest need. Companies, especially smaller companies that were outpaced by the large companies during the recovery, are still trying to find qualified talent. Their intensity to hire has not cooled yet. So the hiring freezes that we're seeing at larger companies are likely to be absorbed, that headcount, by small and medium firms who are still looking to hire.
All right, Neela, thank you so much for taking the time with us this morning. Chief Economist Neela Richardson at ADP Research Institute. Checking futures now. Futures are higher across the board. S&P futures up by 14 points. Dow futures higher by 70 points now. NASDAQ futures up 53 points. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. The yield at 3.48%. Let's get a look at today's Bloomberg weather forecast with Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin.
High pressure covers the northeastern part of the country this morning, and that's why we'll have sunshine across the tri-state area today. Temperatures pretty close to 45 this afternoon. It'll be clear for the most part tonight, 30 to 35 in town, 20s in the suburbs. Tomorrow, partial sun at times, highs 40 to 45. Afternoon shower Sunday, highs 40 to 45. There may be some wet snow mixing in Sunday evening. I'm Rob Carolyn with your three-day forecast on Bloomberg 1130.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's coming up on 6:30 on Wall Street. Good Friday morning. I'm Amy Morris.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're nearly 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Their clients earn interest of up to 3.33% on the idle cash in their brokerage accounts. Visit ibkr.com/interest rates to learn more. Up first, a plane carrying WNBA star Brittany Griner has now landed in San Antonio hours after the White House traded an arms dealer for her release. Griner's back on U.S. soil nearly 10 months after her detention in Russia. The release puts a renewed spotlight on retired Marine Paul Whelan, who remains imprisoned in Russia. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says negotiations for his release are ongoing, but she says Russia won't budge.
We did not want to lose the opportunity before us to secure the release of one of them. And so that was the choice, one or none.
And the White House says they are still working to secure Paul Whelan's release.
And to the markets now, Nathan, where U.S. futures are higher ahead of today's inflation data. The producer price index will be one of the final readings before next week's Fed decision. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
November's producer price index rose 8% year-over-year, the smallest increase since June 2021. Mind you, that is still well above the Federal Reserve's overall inflation target. What's going on? Bloomberg Economics notes goods prices are moderating as domestic and global demand slow and supply chain delays ease. The strong dollar is also an issue. Next week, we get data on November consumer prices. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Vinny, thanks. Now, despite calls for recession, some of the biggest investors predict stocks will see gains next year. 71% of respondents to a Bloomberg survey expect equities to rise. That compares with 19% forecasting declines.
However, that's not the view from Morgan Stanley Chief Investment Officer Mike Wilson. He has turned bearish again, saying value stocks are a risk.
So I don't think there's as much of a distinction between value and growth at this stage of the economic cycle, unless you're talking about the defensive parts of value.
Morgan Stanley Chief Investment Officer Mike Wilson expects the S&P 500 to resume declines relatively soon.
And no developments this morning, Amy, in the collapse of crypto exchange FTX. Sam Bankman-Fried, the founders, missed a key Senate deadline, and we get the latest live with Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport. Steve.
Good morning, Nathan and Amy. Bankman-Fried had until 5 p.m. yesterday to respond to a letter requesting he appear before a Senate Banking Committee next week. The chairman and ranking member Pat Toomey are prepared to issue a subpoena if he doesn't comply. Bankman-Fried recently indicated he would testify before a House committee, though it's unclear why he's remaining silent on this one. However, he has retained a defense attorney. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Steve. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Ahead of producer price data, futures moving higher, S&P futures up 14 points, Dow futures up 76, and NASDAQ futures are on the rise this morning by 55 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Nathan. It's 6:31 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. And we have breaking news. Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema plans to switch from the Democratic Party to become an independent. We spoke with Bloomberg's Greg Valliere a few moments ago on what this means for the Senate.
This is not a huge deal because the Democrats have a 51-49 majority. It'll now be tied, I guess. But even tied, Kamala Harris breaks all ties, so I don't see what kind of clout she'll get. She'll get a little more clout, but I don't think it's dominant.
Bloomberg's Greg Valliere. There's a call for a federal judge to stop a plan by New York City Mayor Eric Adams to force people from the streets and into mental health treatment. Advocates for people with mental illnesses say that the policy dangerously permits the involuntary detention of individuals who seem to have a mental illness. The lawsuit seeks to remove police officers as first responders for those requiring health care. The Department of Justice is asking a federal judge to hold former President Trump's team in contempt over the Mar-a-Lago case. The DOJ says Trump's office failed to fully comply with a May subpoena to return all classified documents in his possession. The U.S. is preparing new sanctions on Russia and China. It's for human rights abuses by both countries. Again, our top story, Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema plans to switch from the Democratic Party to become an independent. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. 6:33 on Wall Street. Time now for the sports report brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Amy, this is why the Mets fans were so happy when Steve Cohen bought the team. Deep pockets. The Mets already with the highest payroll, added to it by keeping free agent center fielder Brandon Nimmo an 8-year contract for $162 million. And the Mets have also thrown $10 million at veteran reliever David Robertson. Had two stints with the Yankees, finished last season with the Phillies. L.A. Rams having perhaps the worst season ever for a defending Super Bowl champion. They were looking at a 7th straight loss, trailed the Raiders by 13 with under 4 minutes left. But Baker Mayfield, 2 days after being acquired by the Rams, led them on 2 long touchdown drives. He threw a game-winning TD pass with 10 seconds left, and the Rams won 17-16. College hoops, heartbreaking loss for Rutgers. Ohio State hit a 3-pointer with a second left, beat the Scarlet Knights 67-66. They'll hand out the Heisman Trophy tomorrow in New York. The favorite to win is USC quarterback Caleb Williams. Army-Navy game tomorrow in Philadelphia. Jason Garrett, the former Cowboys coach, Giants assistant, now a finalist to be the new coach at Stanford. The World Cup down to the Final 8 with one surprise team. That's Morocco, never before a quarterfinalist, playing Portugal tomorrow ahead of the much-anticipated game between France and England today. It's Brazil against Croatia, and Argentina takes on the Netherlands. Knicks just beat the Hawks. Nets just beat the Hornets. Tonight they reverse the opponents. It's the Knicks in Charlotte and the Nets home for Atlanta. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
Thank you, John. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. Futures are higher. S&P up 14, Dow futures up 70 points, NASDAQ futures up 52, and the 10-year Treasury down to 30 seconds. It's 6:35 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about Vail Resorts, saying it's on track to be fully staffed at all of its ski resorts this coming season.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Amazon is launching a TikTok-style feed that will let shoppers scroll for merchandise.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for KCBS in San Francisco, I'm reporting that the Federal Trade Commission is suing to stop Microsoft from buying Activision Blizzard.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WTVN in Columbus, I'll be talking about workers at an Ohio battery plant voting to join the United Auto Workers Union.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder is leading a cybersecurity startup.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Former President Donald Trump hasn't managed to criticize comments made by his recent private dinner guest, the rapper formerly known as Kanye West, who took to a podcast to praise Hitler and deny the Holocaust. Trump's other guest that night, the white supremacist Nick Fuentes, has called for a, quote, total Aryan victory, unquote. It would be tempting to dismiss such statements as the usual rantings by the usual crazies, except that the host of this vile gathering is still the odds-on favorite to be the Republican nominee for president. If Trump can't bring himself to condemn such sentiments, his party needs to. Anti-Semitism has no place in American politics. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Let's take a look at some of the stocks on the move this morning. Shares of Lululemon down more than 7%. Gross margins at the yoga wear maker came in below estimates. Shares of Broadcom up 3%. The chipmaker gave an upbeat sales forecast, indicating that demand remains strong. And shares of DocuSign are up 11%. The company boosted its revenue guidance for the full year. Meantime, Carvana's stock is taking a hit this morning. Shares of Carvana down 4%, giving up some of yesterday's gains. The stock surged nearly 30% yesterday after we reported Carvana is consulting with lawyers and bankers about options for managing its debt load. Up next on Daybreak, we're going to look at more of the movers in the markets. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. This update is brought to you by The Donors Fund, a modern, innovative, donor-advised fund for everyone. Open a free account in minutes with no minimums, no transaction fees, or hidden costs. Visit thedonorsfund.org today and get your 2022 tax deduction. Futures are moving higher on a data-driven Friday. We're waiting producer prices at 8:30 Wall Street time. Ahead of that, S&P futures are up 12 points. Dow futures up 61, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 44 points. We check the markets all day on Bloomberg. 10-year treasuries down 1/32nd. Yield 3.48%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.28%. NYMEX crude's up 0.5% right now, 36 cents at $71.82 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5%, up $8.90 at $18.10.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0560 against the dollar. The yen 135.83. Bitcoin's higher by 0.3%, trading around 17,200. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. Two breaking stories. Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema has changed parties. She registered from Democrat to Independent. A plane believed to be carrying WNBA star Brittany Griner arrived in San Antonio, Texas early this morning. Griner spent more than 9 months in Russian custody. Her family has asked for privacy for Griner to heal. Thursday night football, the Rams beat the Raiders 17-16. FIFA World Cup action resumes today. Croatia plays Brazil. The Netherlands faces Argentina. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It is 6:42 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news in science and technology now. The Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT offers New Jersey's first undergraduate degree in fintech. Tech-driven, finance-focused. What will you make at NJIT? Learn more at njit.edu/fintech. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. China faces a daunting task after abruptly giving up on COVID zero. The number of infections is expected to soar, and deaths are predicted to rise over 2 million. The U.S. and Europe had an ebb and flow pattern of outbreaks over months and years, but China is likely to see a wave of infections engulf the country all at once. The Federal Trade Commission has sued to block Microsoft's planned $69 billion takeover of video game company Activision Blizzard. The agency says it could suppress competitors to Microsoft's Xbox game console and its growing games subscription business. And a half century after U.S. astronauts brought it back from the moon's surface, a minute piece of extraterrestrial rock has finally reached its intended destination, the Eastern Mediterranean island nation of Cyprus. The 1.1 gram piece of moon rock was on display yesterday at an exhibition commemorating the 50th anniversary of the last of the Apollo lunar landings and the Artemis mission, whose Orion capsule is on its way back to Earth after orbiting the moon. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Nathan. It is 6:43 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in our nation's capital include, as we've been telling you this morning, Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema has changed parties from Democrat to Independent. You've also been hearing us talk about Brittany Griner, released from that Russian labor camp. We're going to get reaction to that. President Biden expected to sign the Respect for Marriage Act. Congress passed that yesterday. And then, of course, the negotiations are ongoing for the spending bill to fund the government days before the deadline to avert a shutdown. There's a lot happening here on this Friday morning. We bring in Bloomberg senior Washington correspondent and the host of Sound On, Joe Matthew. Joe, good morning to you.
Good morning, Amy.
All right. Thank you, Joe, for being there. What is the impact of Sinema's change of heart?
Well, my goodness, the impact here, it brings us back a couple of days. I need to take back some of the things I told you when I was in Georgia. Remember, the whole point here to getting Raphael Warnock reelected was to get that extra breathing room, that 51-49 split in the Senate. And it looks like that's going to be going away as soon as it arrives. Joe Manchin rising. You know, we're going to be back in this 50-50 split, essentially, with Kyrsten Sinema now acting as an independent. Now, it's important here. She says that she will not caucus with the Democrats, but will also not behave any differently. It appears that she wants to keep her committee assignments. So we kind of have another Bernie Sanders here, but he's not, but still not attending the Democratic luncheons and following the Democratic sort of mantra here. It's unclear exactly what that will mean for counting votes in the Senate. But look, we have to be honest about where we're coming from here. Kyrsten Sinema has been a real thorn in the side of a lot of Democrats in her reluctance to raise taxes, in her reluctance to end the filibuster in the Senate. And that's why a lot of the Democratic agenda, or Joe Biden's agenda, like Build Back Better, never got passed. So this may not change as much as the headline might imply.
So is there any indication why she decided to do this now?
Well, look, if you ask her, she'll tell you about her independent spirit and that this is what's right for the people of Arizona. But the fact of the matter is she is facing a likely primary challenge in 2024. Congressman Ruben Gallego, a Democrat from Arizona to her left, who talked months ago on Bloomberg Sound On about his plans to challenge her, could really create an issue in the primary. This would mean that she would not have a head-to-head challenge in the primary race. But that's not, by the way, the reason that she's talking about publicly. She says she's not even talking about a second term yet.
All right, let's shift gears now. Brittany Griner landed in Texas this morning
and
then headed straight into medical evaluation. Obviously, there's a lot of mixed emotion about her release. What are you hearing?
Well, that's true. I mean, the White House press briefing yesterday really brought this to the fore. This is a really difficult balancing act for the White House to try to celebrate the release of an American who was, in their eyes, wrongfully detained, while at the same time talking to families of other Americans still detained, like Paul Whelan. How come he didn't come home? How come he was left behind? Many are asking. You're talking about a U.S. Marine who's been stuck over there since 2018, accused of spying. I spoke with a lawyer last evening who's representing another American, Mark Fogel, who's over there, a teacher who's been detained there for years. And look, it's unclear exactly what went behind this swap, so we don't want to act like we were in the room for it. But she was swapped for a reputed arms dealer, for somebody who was in prison for trying to kill Americans. Right. This Victor Boot is now back in Russia and could well help Vladimir Putin acquire arms to use in the war in Ukraine that he can't get otherwise. So there are major national security implications at the same time as celebrating the return of America to come home. This is a very difficult time emotionally and politically for the White House. To see that Griner's wife up there yesterday was a very touching moment. To hear from Paul Whelan's family was, too.
There's a lot to unpack there, but we've got to pivot now to the Respect for Marriage Act. It was just a big day at the White House because Congress passed the Respect for Marriage Act. The president's about to sign it. That's huge.
Well, it was. It was a huge day in the House. It was a huge day for Nancy Pelosi. She got emotional when she was in the speaker's rostrum to deliver the final tally, to drop the gavel on this, and couldn't actually get it out at first. It's likely the last major thing that she will do as speaker. But look, this is a big deal. It's something that's approved by more than, is supported by more than 70% of Americans, even as a lot of Republicans voted against it on religious grounds. This is now the law of the land. It codifies same-sex marriage. It removes the Defense of Marriage Act and replaces it with the Respect for Marriage Act.
All right, we got about a minute here. Lawmakers still debating spending bills on Capitol Hill. Are they going to make that December 16th deadline?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it depends how you qualify making it. I would get ready to start kicking the can, start doing the can-can here, because it's getting to be about Christmas time, and it's likely that they will push this right up until Christmas Eve. The question is, Is that enough time to get an omnibus budget, a real budget, an appropriations deal, or is it going to be a year-long continuing resolution, which would not go very well for the Pentagon, for instance, because you end up handcuffing agencies to follow the budget from last year? There's a lot of sticking points here. They are not agreeing on the top line, but it was encouraging to see the National Defense Authorization Act passed this week. At least there is a framework for Pentagon spending that also eliminates the COVID vaccine mandate for the military. That's a big deal. It is expected to pass the Senate.
And that was a compromise between Democrats and Republicans?
That's true, yes. And that's why it is expected to pass the Senate. And the president will really have no choice but to sign it.
All right. We're going to continue to watch that with you. Bloomberg's Joe Matthew, host of Bloomberg Sound On and senior Washington correspondent for Bloomberg. Thank you very much for taking the time with us this morning. There's a lot going on Capitol Hill. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all of the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures 13 points higher now. Dow futures 60 points higher, NASDAQ futures up 50, the 10-year Treasury unchanged. Much more still to come on this Friday morning. Don't go anywhere. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. This update is brought to you by the Donors Fund, a modern, innovative donor-advised fund for everyone. Open a free account in minutes with no minimums, no transaction fees, or hidden costs. Visit thedonorsfund.org today and get your 2022 tax deduction. Futures moving higher as we await producer prices in just about an hour and a half or so. We check the markets all day long on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 14 points. Dow futures up 67, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 54 points. 10-year Treasury little change. The yield 3.48%. 2-year yield 4.27%. NYMEX crude's up almost a half percent at $71.79 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% at $18.1260 an ounce. The euro trades at 1.0556 against the dollar. The yen is at 135.83. Bitcoin's up by 0.4% at 17,250. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Amy.
Nathan, it is 6:56 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at the stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Tatiana Daria. Tatiana, thank you for taking the time with us. What you got?
Amy, good morning. So I'm looking at Lululemon here, moving in the pre-market down about a 7% here and pointing to open lower by about $20 or so per share. And that has to do with its earnings. It posted three-quarter earnings last night, and a measure of profitability, key measure, the gross margin, was about a percentage point lower than analysts estimated. And this is really indicative of the troubles of the whole retail industry as a whole, right? As we know, they're working through bloated inventories. And for Lululemon itself, those inventories have risen about 85%. And second, it's also indicative of the challenges for corporate America as a whole, as you look at increased costs versus perhaps slowing spending from consumers and the effects of the strong dollar. So that all played into Lululemon's earnings here. Now, the CEO said that the company hasn't seen any significant shift in spending among their guests, but nonetheless, this adds just to the mixed pictures on consumers that we're getting. Yes, we know they're still spending, but that's spending is slowing, and unfortunately for retail stocks, that is not translating into gains. If you look at that sector, it's still down about 30% year to date.
And you're seeing a rally with DocuSign, too.
Yes, we're seeing a 13% rally in the pre-market here. That also has to do with earnings. The company reported strong third-quarter billings, and analysts are saying results were boosted by early renewals. That has gained the stock also an upgrade here. Analysts are touting this is a good sign that growth is reaccelerating at last, and that this is a good showing for the new CEO. The reminder, the CEO took over just in October after a tumultuous period for the stock. It's still down 70% year to date, so it's definitely one that can use some good news here.
And what do you see moving with Netflix?
Well, Netflix is also up 3% here in the pre-market after gaining an upgrade and Cowen also naming it a top pick. It looks like the company is gaining fans on Wall Street with its, you know, latest turnaround plan. As a reminder, they've recently introduced a lower-priced advertising-sponsored subscription tier of $6.99. And this after they've had a couple of difficult earnings seasons and that spurred sort of, you know, this turnaround plan, and it seems to be working as shares have gained here in recent months, and as we see, analysts are getting more bullish. And they're saying that, you know, next year content will improve and global growth still provides a tailwind.
All right, Bloomberg's Tatiana Daria, thank you for joining us this morning. Looking at stocks as a whole ahead of the open, S&P futures are 15 points higher. Dow futures up by 68 points. NASDAQ futures up 56 points. 10-year Treasury unchanged. The yield at 3.48%. It's 6:59 on Wall Street. Stay with us. Bloomberg Surveillance with Jonathan Furrow and Lisa Abramowitz starts right now.
Live from the financial capital of the world, broadcasting across the globe, this is WBBR New York, Bloomberg 1130.
We've never seen a recession so anticipated.
The first half of the year.